Good morning and welcome. I'm so glad to be with you here today. You know, just watching that story earlier, I'm reminded of something my dad said to me a long time ago. He's an ultra marathoner, right? He loves to run races. He said, if you want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far, run together. And that's our heart right here at Good Life, is to be together, to be on this journey that God's called us to. And we've been looking at our core tenets, right? These things that are our guiding and main principles. And we just finished up a time of looking at mercy and justice. And now we're going to go into a time of looking at people development and what it means to be invited into becoming all that God designed us to be, finding out who you are and what on earth you're here for. I'm reminded, right, of this saying that lots of pastors have said, and maybe you've heard it too. It goes like this. It says, you know, everybody ends up somewhere, but not everybody ends up somewhere on purpose. And so we're going to take a few weeks to look at people development through the lens of discipleship, of becoming all that God has created us and redeemed us to be. And so we're going to spend time looking at what it means to know God, to trust God, and to live on His mission, to live with purpose, to help heal the world. Because that's what we've been invited into. And so I hope that you'll join us for this time as we go into this new time of looking at this core tenet of people development. We want to live with intention, right? Preparation and intention is critically important. Again, this is something that we've said over and over at Good Life. Paul writes in Romans about us being conformed to the image of Christ, that it's this transformative work that we believe that Jesus has invited us into. And I love this quote that Abraham Lincoln says, you know, if you're going to give me 6 hours to cut down a tree, I'm going to spend 4 sharpening the axe. Like, what about you? I know for me, this is something that I want to get better at. This idea of routine and development and preparation. I'm probably 50-50 with this in my own life. Every morning I want to get up early. I want to go for a walk. I want to jump into my Henry Nouwen devotional and read things that are going to set me up to just have a great day. But it's wintertime. And as soon as I dip my foot out of the warm covers, the last thing I want to do is get up and exercise and eat a good breakfast. And so what do I do? Sometimes I pull out my phone. I check to see if my favorite baseball team won the game the night before, and I go back to sleep. What about personal development and daily routine is going on for you? And as we look into this idea of discipleship and people development, I hope that you'll ask yourself the question, what does it mean for me? How can I be a part of this transformative process that Jesus has invited me into? Because He does have something for us in this. One of the ways this transformative process is described is discipleship, right? That's a Christian church word that describes a process of learning. It simply means someone who's left their family to learn at the feet of their rabbi or their teacher. That's the word that we use to describe those 12 guys that followed Jesus around for a few years. But then when He left, when He ascended to heaven, what did they do? They turned the world upside down, and people said this most amazing thing: these men have been with Jesus, right? And so we're going to take some time to look at this idea of discipleship, what it means, and how we can be a disciple, how we then can make disciples, and then what it looks like to be involved in this transformative process to see the world healed in Jesus. I think it's something that we probably all agree with, but we might not think about a lot, is that you are like the people that you spend time with. You know, it's been said that you're an average of the 5 people you spend the most time with, and I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard it, but I think if we were to ask ourselves that question today, we'd find some truth in it, that the people that I spend the most time with, I begin to sound like them. I begin to like the same things they like. I begin to do things the way that they do it, and vice versa. And we see that with the disciples. That's what Jesus invited them into, was a process of seeing how He did life, hearing Him teach, hearing Him teach the multitudes, but also teach them. Being invited into doing things a new way and loving a new way. He also rebuked them. He also corrected them. But he also, most importantly, he loved them through this process. And so for us today, if we want to really dig in to this idea of discipleship, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for me? And I've got a couple of stories that I want to look at from the book of Matthew that I think are going to help us kind of identify a couple of areas of what it looks like to really be a disciple. Because I don't know what the statistics are here, but in America, it's about 94% of people say they believe in God or they know God, but they don't really know him, right? And I think it might be similar here, that we live in a culture that would acknowledge him with their lips, but their lives might look something different. And so for us today, what does it look like to know God, to know Jesus, to be in this relationship with him? And so we're going to look at some scripture, and we're going to start in Matthew. So let's go ahead and read that right now. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23. It says, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up from the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown.' And he replied, 'You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?' And then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed, and they asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" It's an interesting progression, right? Like he gets onto this boat and the disciples come with him, right? And what does he do? He goes to sleep. They set off and the disciples are probably hanging out, talking about the teaching that he had just done. And all of a sudden a storm comes up and they get very afraid. And so they go and they find Jesus and they wake him up and they tell him, "Oh, we're going to be destroyed. You got to save us. What are we going to do?" And he jumps up and he rebukes them. And then he speaks to the wind and the waves. And they say this thing, right? And I think it's in the King James where it says they marveled, right? This idea of they look at Jesus, they're in this intense experience, and they marveled. What kind of man is this? Right? And just a few chapters later, there's a similar story where they're on a boat again in the middle of the lake, and it looks like a ghost is coming towards them. And then they realize it's Jesus. And Peter says, "Hey, if that's you, Jesus, I'll come out to you. Tell me to come out to you." And he does, and he almost drowns, and Jesus saves him. And again, they end up in the boat, marveling. And even further on in this story, it says they worshiped him. Right? For us, I think there's a couple of things that we really need to zero in on if we're going to not just know about God, just not know about Jesus, but be his disciple, is I think we need to be in awe of him, right? There's this kind of familiarity that we have with Jesus these days, that he's like our best friend, which is true. He loves us, but are we in awe of him? Do we marvel at who he is, or do we just learn facts about him, right? Is he the center of this new way of living, this new way of loving? Do we really just sit with him and marvel at who he is? Do we marvel at what he's done? Do we marvel at the fact that he has invited us into this same life to live and to love and to heal, to be on his mission, to live for his purpose? I think if we're truly going to know Jesus, we start by marveling at who he is. The second thing that I want to talk about today as we look at this idea of knowing God, of being a disciple, is this idea of apprenticeship, right? To be apprenticed to Jesus. Not only is a disciple someone who's in awe of him, but a disciple is someone that has been apprenticed to him. Right, this idea that I've been invited into a relationship where I watch him, I learn from him, he corrects me and he shows me love and he puts me on the right path. This is apprenticeship. I know it sounds a lot like work, right? But if we go back to Mark, where in Mark, at the end of Mark, before Jesus ascends into heaven, we're given something called the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion, as many of us kind of live that way, but it's the Great Commission. And I want to read it for you because there's something really important in this that is going to help us understand what apprenticeship really looks like. So let's go ahead and read from Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his words by signs that accompanied it. That's a pretty standard reading, right, of the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and amazing things are going to happen. And it's true, right? But this is where I think maybe the NIV doesn't really serve the original languages very well. The idea here that "go ye" in the King James, or that "go into all the world," it has the connotation of "as you were going." And so there are translations that say that, "as you were going, preach the gospel everywhere to every person on the planet," right? This idea that it's for everyone and it's as you are going. And this idea of apprenticeship, right? It's something that I think we need to come back to, is that "go ye," right? It has the idea of continuing on the journey that Jesus has invited you into. It's almost a reorienting of your life around this new mission. That's what apprenticeship is. And for us, we're not called maybe to go somewhere different. Maybe we're called to go right here. The life that we're living now, we're supposed to use that life, that one good life that God has given us, to be apprenticed to Jesus, in awe of who he is, telling people about him, and amazing things are going to happen, right? We read it in the NIV, and it's almost as if we do that, we're going to go somewhere crazy and crazy things are going to happen. But what if, in awe of Jesus and who he is, we apprenticed ourselves to him where we are now with the people that we know around us? And what if some amazing things happened when we told them who he is and how he's changed our lives? We need to live in awe of who Jesus is. And I think we need to be apprenticed to him. But I know that this is one of those things, right, where apprenticeship sounds a lot like work. And you might be folding your arms thinking, "Ryan, I don't need more work in my life." And I'm right there with you, right? I'd rather do something easy than something hard. But I am always talking to my boys about, you are created to do hard things. And I think that's what Jesus invites us into, is that he doesn't invite us into an easy life. He invites us into an amazing life. He invites us into an abundant life, a life where we know him and then we tell people about him, a life in which we're in awe of who he is and what he's done, but we're also apprenticed to him, that we have reoriented our life around his mission. Which, what is his mission? All we've got to do is go to the Gospels to see what his mission was. Stephen spoke about it last week when Jesus got up in the tabernacle, right? He got up in the synagogue and he said, "This is what I'm here for. I'm here because sick people need to be healed. I'm here because people who are in bondage need to be freed. I'm here because people that don't see need to see." And he's invited us into that same life. Right? This is what it means to be in development, to be transformed into the image of Jesus, to be conformed to that image so that we can be all that he has designed and created and redeemed us to be. I know it sounds like hard work, and sometimes it is hard. I know sometimes it's real, real intense and a struggle, right? But this is why I want to talk. I think I want to end this way today, because To be apprenticed to Jesus is not a heavy burden. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that things are going to go the way that you thought they were going to go. I think it's normal for us to look out the window or to walk out into the street and see that things aren't always the way that they should be. And I think that's why when I talk about being apprenticed to Jesus, I want to end today with Matthew 11, where it talks and Jesus invites us to be yoked to him. So this is what it says in Matthew 11, and I'm reading from the Message translation. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Right? That's this idea that Jesus is talking about being yoked with him, right? And that idea there is where they would take two cattle, right? And they would put them in a harness and they would work together to get the job done, right? This is an idea throughout all of the New Testament, and it's described best by maybe saying, maybe using the words in Christ, right? In Corinthians, Paul talks about anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. This idea permeates the New Testament of us being in Christ, yoked to him. It doesn't begin with religious obligation, right? This is not a religious ceremony. It's not religious language. It's about being in step with Jesus. And there's two pictures in the New Testament of this. Jesus offers us his yoke. And the religious leaders of that day in Matthew 11 were the Pharisees. And Jesus says over and over again how they heaped upon people heavy burdens. You know, more, do more, be more, try harder. You need to make the grade. And for us, we're never going to make the grade. It's Jesus who has done all that we need. And so he invites us into this apprenticeship to be yoked with him, to be in awe of him, to be with him in Christ before we go about our business of reorienting our life around his mission. I'm reminded of that video we watched earlier, right? Of the father and son who ran all of these races together. And this was the thing, right? Like the dad, Dick Hoyt, he was not a runner. He had never run a race before. But when his son said, "Can we run a race together? Can we do this fun run together?" His dad was like, "I am so there." Right? And maybe you don't feel prepared to be a disciple. Maybe you don't feel like you've got what it takes to really know who Jesus is. But Jesus is calling us. He's inviting us into this relationship to live freely and to live lightly. I love how in that video, the young son, Rick, felt most alive when he was running with his dad. And I think that's true for us, that we will feel most alive when we are in awe of who Jesus is, and we choose to say yes to that invitation to be apprenticed to him. And as we go into worship, as we head into a time of singing things that are true about who God is and what Jesus has done, I hope that you'll take this time to reflect on what it means to be a disciple, to maybe engage for the first time in this idea of being developed into the person that God designed you to be, to find out who you are and to find out why you're here and what we should be living for. So let's take some time to worship, to reflect, and to think, how can I take the first step in being a true disciple of who Jesus is and what he's about?